Involuntary psychiatric commitment in a hospital is not easy for the patient or the health provider. That was the case this week for Robin. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion. Robin was brought into my office by friends because he was acting bizarrely, talking to people that weren't there, swinging objects at things that only he could see, and threatening to harm himself because that is what the voices were telling him to do. At age 19, Robin had been homeless for 2 years. He had used drugs heavily when he was initially homeless, but according to my past conversations with Robin, for the past 2 years, he's only been using cannabis and alcohol occasionally because he couldn't afford them. His childhood was filled with adversities. He was raised in a foster home and then a group home, and he had other vulnerabilities. He was poor, homeless. He had diabetes. He finished only the 9th or the 10th grade. He wasn't sure, and he couldn't think of anybody who loved or cared for him ever. To be clear, he did not ask to be hospitalized, and in fact, he asked me not to hospitalize him. But it was not safe to allow him to leave my office. Not safe for him, and probably not safe for the community. The police needed to bring him to a hospital where they could evaluate him for this involuntary commitment. While we can legally provide for involuntary commitment, the question is whether we can ethically treat a person against their wishes. Robin's wishes were not rational. He wanted to stay under a highway overpass, yielding a large knife. There are two sides to this coin. On the one side are individual issues in terms of helping Robin to be safe and regain his mental health. On the other side are social issues in terms of protecting the public from Robin. To be clear, the outcomes, an involuntary admission to a psychiatric hospital, might not feel much different from going to jail. You cannot leave, you have restricted freedoms, you have no access to a cell phone, and you have limited decision-making. The medical community is asked to balance our duty to protect Robin's autonomy, in other words, as an adult to make his own decisions, versus our duty to not allow him to harm himself or others, but also our duty not to harm Robin. An involuntary admission can be unpleasant at best, and I have many patients who've told me that it is dehumanizing, traumatic, and actually harmful. So the decision to suggest involuntary hospitalization is a clinical decision involving a highly vulnerable person, but the decision also has moral implications, and it is not easy to make. How much does Robin's behavior depart from normal behavior, and has it crossed over into serious mental illness? For Robin, it has clearly crossed that threshold. But more importantly, society has provided me with few alternatives that I can offer to Robin other than involuntary hospitalization. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with A Second Opinion.